The following shiur is recorded, edited, and presented to you by Kol HaLashon. We wish you an enjoyable and meaningful time listening.
This week is Parsha Shemois, defined by the Ramban. Chumash Shemois is defined by the Ramban, Sefer HaGolus VaHaGa'ulo. And we start learning about Golos Mitzrayim and about redemption, Geulas Mitzrayim. In the first parasha, we learn about the Gzeros, the terrible decrees. Ve'yomer melech Mitzrayim lemialdei su'ivriyos, asher shemu achas shifro v'shema achas puo. Ve'yomer, bialet chenes su'ivriyos u'reise malu avnayim. Im beinu v'amite noisoi, ve'im basi v'choyo. You should destroy the baby boys and only the baby girls let live. Who were these mialdoi su'ivriyos? Rashi, first and foremost, Rosh v'Rishon le'v'Rabbeinu v'Rishonim, Rashi says, that we Yocheved and Miriam, Noshim Tzidkoniyos, be'Mesiras Nefesh, they defied Pare's decree, and they let all the children live. Moshev Zekeinim HaRatoyer is a compilation of Bali HaToysvis, and we find one shit in that sefer, Moshev Zekeinim HaBali HaToysvis, that those midwives were non-Jewish. They were Gentiles. They were Egyptian midwives. Mialdos u'ivriyos means mialdos shel u'ivriyos, but they were not Jewish. The Marshon Sanhedrin Nun Zion argues that Paray intentionally demanded from Jewish midwives to destroy the children because Akum neherogim ala ubarim. That is a Gemara in Sanhedrin Daf Nun Tes. Gentiles are chay of misa for destroying a fetus, a ubar. And for some reason, in some way, Pare was aware of this halacha, and therefore he couldn't demand from the non-Jewish midwives to kill children, and that is why he imposed it on the Jews. Well, this pshat assumes that Paroi was aware of the Gemara Sanhedrin Nun Tes, and I wonder, obviously, maybe he learned Gemara, but he didn't learn Tosfos, because Tosfos on the spot in Sanhedrin Nun Tes, and once again in Churan Amid Gimel, Tosfos says, Akam neherogen ala ubrin, but Jewish people aren't chayev mises based in, but it is an Isser d'oraisa. So maybe Paroi did learn the Tosfos, but he argued it's an Issa d'oraisa, but it might not be a hereg v'aliyava. And if I threaten those midwives, if they will defy my decree and they wouldn't do as I say, then I will kill them. So maybe it's not a hereg v'aliyava. So this mashal, understandably, is pilpul. And if it's pilpul, let's go all the way in pilpul. So in Minchas Osho and Parsha Shemois, I said, there's another Rambam, Hilchas Ritzayach, the Rambam writes that non-Jews are chayav misa if they kill a person with an agent. In our halacha, ain't shliach advar aveira. But by goyim, ha-sholeach sholeach larog is a nefesh chayav misa. The source of that Rambam is neither in Bavli nor in Yerushalmi. It's in Medrash Rabba. Somewhat of a surprise that the Rambam takes Aloha out of the Medrash. But the Medrash darshans, Shoifach dam ha-odam ba-odam doma yeshofach. Ha-odam ba-odam means killing one person through an agent, demanding, sending one person to kill another. That is the same pasuk from which Chazal learned in Sanhedrin Nun Tes, Goyim neherogin al ubarim. Eiza odam shehu betoich odam ze ubar. Shoifach dam odam odam. So Pare was a big lamdan. And Pare said, if I send a messenger, an agent, to kill a ubar, to kill a fetus, mimonav shach, I can be chayiv. Because Either pshat in the posek is shoyfech dama odom b'toich odom or shoyfech dama odom al yedei odom. But we can't use the same posek to learn two different halachas. So sometimes that is the way we learn Chumash. And many times we are mefalpel. In the lumdis of Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, I think it is somewhat of an exaggeration to me, mefalpel in the lumdis of Paroi. So Paroi was aware of the Gemara Sanhedrin of the Toises of the Rambam in Hilchos Roitzeach. Well, every politician today has an advisor in Yonei Charedim. Every major politician in Israel has a Yoetz in Yonei Charedim. And I think America as well, the governor has some Charedi people on his staff to know what's going on with the Jews. So maybe this was the genius of Paroi's special commissioner for Charedim, for the Orthodox community. But let us deal with this fascinating sugya. Terminating a pregnancy. What is the issur of destroying a fetus? And we start off the shiur with seven different approaches. Number one, some gedolim feel and maintain it is an issur of retzicha, ibud nefesh. Not as harsh as killing a living person that was born v'yotze la'avir v'olam. Rotzeachayev Mises Beisdin, a fetus is not a full-fledged human being. After all, the Mishnah says in Perek Zayin of Aholois, HaMekash HaLeilin Mechatchen Esavrad Eivorim Eivorim, Yotzo Roishoi Ei Noigem Boi. A woman's life is in jeopardy at the time of childbirth. The only way to save a life is by destroying the fetus. That is what we do. We destroy the uvar to save the mother's life. If the baby has his head out of the birth canal, yotzer avir oylem ein noigem boy, ein doicher nefesh mipnei nefesh. This baby is a human being. His life is as precious as his mother's life. We don't destroy one life to salvage another. Yotzer reishe ein noigem boy. We leave it up to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But as long as he is a fetus, a ubar, mechatchen esavrad evorim evorim kedei latzilatem. And this mission is brought in Sanhedrin 9, based on Beis and Rashi explains, ubar is not a nefesh. Afar piken, some later achroinim maintain. Not a full-fledged nefesh, but it still is an iser of lo tirtzach. Tzofen is paneach, the rugged shavar. His contemporary in Dvinsk. Dvinsk wasn't a very big kehilla, but in the pre-Holocaust generation, they had two of the greatest gedolim, Rabbi Meir Simcha, the Or Sameach, and the Tzofen Spaneach, Rabbi Yosher Rosin, the Rugged Shaver. And in this halacha, Shnei Neviim Misnabe Misignon Echad, Tzofen Spaneach, Chelak Alav Semen Nuntes, Meshachoch me parshas v'yakal on the posek. Maka odem yumas. Rabbi Simcha argues, an uber is not a nefesh, but he is a odem. He is human. He's a human being. Yumas means misa b'dei shemayim. Neither the Tzofen Spaneach nor the Meshachochma doesn't write this svora halocha lemaisa. But after all, they were two sages, two of the greatest gedolim of their tkufa. The one that is very machmir, halocha lemaisa, is the Igres Moshe, Rav Moshe Feinstein. Choshe mishpot chelik beisim, and samachtet till ayin beis, various, several tshubis. And Rav Moshe is very machmir in terminating a pregnancy. According to the Moshe, the only justification would be when the mother's life is in jeopardy, is in danger. That is the opinion of the Igres Moshe. And he writes explicitly, it is an issur of ibud nefesh. That's opinion number one. In the time of Rav Moshe, the Tzitz Eliezer was considered the makel. And sometimes when there was a desperate need, I know Reb Shlomo Zalman sent people ask Rabbi Lezer Yudel, he used to send them to the Tzitz Eliezer. Approach number two is the Mizrochi al HaTorah Parshas Mishpotim. Once again, the Mizrochi al HaTorah is not a halachic source, but he was one of the greatest Gedolim going back 500 years. Mizrochi al HaTorah Parshas Mishpotim says, the only reason Hariges Ubar is not Chayiv Misa is because we don't know. Maybe it wasn't a Vlad Bar Kiyome, maybe it was a Nephil. Maybe this fetus didn't have any chance really to be a healthy child. Today, it's not so reasonable when we have ultrasound and we know what's going on. But going back 500 years, going back 2,000 years, we would never know what the situation of us, what the condition of a fetus is. So that is the Mizrochi. Approach number three is a fascinating approach, and that is the Chavis Yoram Siman Lamed Aleph, and following in the footsteps of the Chavis Yoram, Rav Boruch Frenkel, the Boruch Tam, Shalas Shetuvas Atelas Chachomim, Evan Ezer Siman Aleph, and Schused Avrom. Rav Avrom Alat Shechanava was one of the Gedolim in Poland in the days of the Kiddush Harim, the Divrei Chaim, going back 170 years. These three Gedolim maintain the Isser to destroy a fetus is the same as Hoitzoas Zera Levatola. Interesting. Hoitzoas Zera Levatola. Kal v'chomer, that he can't destroy a fetus. He is one stage closer to being a human child. Number four. When the Gemara says, Akum neherogin ala ubarim, seneden nun tes, shofech dama odam ba'odam dami yeshofech. Tosis asks a fundamental question. Mi yekemide de liyesol shori? Velagoy osur. The Gemara says, it cannot be that a goy has a prohibition and a Jew does not have that prohibition. What's osur to a goy cannot be permissible to a Jew. We have more mitzvahs than they do. They only have seven and we have 613. We have tariag. Mi yegemide de liyesol shori vela akum osur. So Tosis asks, how about destroying a fetus? Goy nereg ala ubar. And a Jew not. Twice in Shas, Tosfos says, Sanhedrin nun tes omed alef anchuna lamed gimel. Gam li Yisrael isu diuraisa. So the Jew doesn't bear liability in Beis Din. But it is an isu diuraisa. And therefore it should be no wonder that a Jew isn't chayiv misa and a goy is. It's impossible that to a Jew it's permissible and to a non-Jew it's prohibited. But sometimes the punishment would be different. Noide be Yehuda, Madura Tinyona, Choshemishbut Nun Tes. Shalas Chuvas Beis Shloima, Choshemishbut Kuf Lamed Beis maintain that this very Savora is the reason a Jew cannot destroy a fetus and terminating a pregnancy would be an Issa. Why? What would the Issa be? Mia Kemida. So in Koivet Shemuas from Rabbi Chonan Vasserman, Ois Chav Gimel, Rabbi Chonan deals with the question, is Mia Kemida a simen or a sibba? How do we understand this word of Mia Kemida when Chazal say it's impossible that something would be permissible to a Jew and prohibited to a non-Jew? Is that in itself the reason of prohibition to the Jewish person? Or it's just an argument. Look for the reason. This isn't a reason. This is just an argument. This svora just tells us it is impossible. This cannot be. But this svora isn't the rationale of the etzem isur. To me, the second approach would be the more reasonable one. So that would take us back either to the Moshe Feinstein or to the Chavis Yoram, either at Zera or Loisirtzach. But some Gedolim maintain, no, this Savora is actually the fundamental Iso, the rationale of the Iso, which is Mi Ike Midi. Two of the early Amudei Torah were quite lenient dealing with terminating a pregnancy. That's two Tshuvas in Maharit and two Tshuvas in Radbaz. Marit Tzadik Zayin and Tzadik Tes. Radbaz Chelik Beis Tov Reish Tzadikei Chelik Chet Simen Chav Beis. The Maritna Radbaz say, terminating a pregnancy is not loisirtzach. It has nothing to do with Dina Nefoshes. So Simen Tzadik Zayin in the Marit, he says it's merely choyver b'chaveiroi. You're hurting the mother. Choyver b'chaveiroi, lo yosef lahakoisoi. The Marit in Simen Tzadik Teta and the Radbaz in both Shuva says that it's Dina Momenes. It's Dina Momenes because the Mevlodes belongs to the father. Definitely not Lois Sertzach. So these are five different approaches. Let me share with you. No, number six is very far-fetched. I said seven. Chuvas Maram Shik, Yoredei Kuf Nun Hei. This is totally Bederech Pilpul. The Maram Shik says, Chotzishir Osa Manatoyra. And Ubar is like a Chotzishir. He's not a human being yet. He's not a Nefesh, but he is somewhat of a nefesh. After all, his heart is pumping. His organs are slowly being developed. He's a potential human being. Chotzishir osam an atoira. Interesting. Minchaso shechumish v'yikro and pashas v'yikro. There's a fascinating simon about chotzishir be'echus, unlike chotzishir be'kamus. Chotzishir in quality, not only in quantity. Because the classical example of Chotzi Shia, Machloikis, Rebbe Yochanan, Vashlokash, and Yom Ayin Dalad is Chotzi Kezayas, Chotzi Revias, Chotzi Kosevis, Chotzi Gergeres. Quantity. Less than the required Shia. But I brought about 15 sources that sometimes we found a qualitative Chotzi Shia. Chotzi Shia in essence, and not in quantity, not in kamus. One of the sources I quoted was Shuvas Maharam Shik. So after giving you six different approaches, I want to share with you the Minchas Asher. And this brings us to another question. Is it permissible? Is it obligatory? Are we mechuyev to be mechala Shabbos to save a fetus? The Ramban and the Ran quote Alochas Gedoilis, yes. And according to them, it's a Mishnah. In Masechet Yom. Ubarash Shehericho. If a pregnant woman smelled food, and she feels she needs to eat, and if we won't feed her, that will be Sekonis Nefoshes. Machile Noisa. And there are two different approaches in the Rishonim. Whose life is in jeopardy? Whose life is in danger? The mother's life or the life of the fetus? Both the Ramban and Torah Sodom and the Ran, Dav Beis Omid Beis, Ran, Mesechet Yom, quote Alochas Gedoiras. We're dealing with a situation in which the mother's life is not in jeopardy, but the baby might be in danger, and we eat on Yom Kippur to salvage the life of a fetus, of a ubar. Why? Uber is not an efesh. We destroy the fetus to save his mother. Halachas Gedoyle says, Chalel Olav Shabbos Achas Kedeshi Yishma Shabbos Oisaharba. We are Machala Shabbos, and we eat in Yom Kippur for potential life. So Uber is not yet a living human being. He's not an efesh, but he is a potential nefesh. And that is reason enough to be Machala Shabbos. Do we have a mitzvah to save a ubar? Of course we do. Otherwise, what would be the permit to be Mechala Shabbos to save an ubar? I think it's totally unreasonable. It's impossible. It's ridiculous to say you could eat in Yom Kippur and you could be Mechala Shabbos to save something that you don't need to save. How could you be Mechala Shabbos to do something that you're not mechuyev to do? How could it be that two women are pregnant? We destroy the fetus of one woman, and we're Mechala Shabbos to save the other. If you don't need to save a fetus, how could you be Mechala Shabbos to save one? So if the Alochas Gedoyle says, we're Mechala Shabbos to save a fetus because Chalal Olav Shabbos Achas Kadesh Yish Meshavos Asarba, that Svora is also the source that there's a Chiyuv to save a Ubar, and we are Mechala Shabbos to save an Ubar. Do we have a source in Shas Then it's a mitzvah to say v'ubar, yes. And that brings us to Erech and Zayin Amad Aleph, which is an amazing sugya. We find two halachas in that sugya. On one hand, if a woman was sentenced to capital punishment, chayva mises beis din, arba mises beis din, and she's pregnant, we do not wait for her to have the baby. We administer mises beis din immediately. Because Chazal say that's inui hadin. It is causing unnecessary pain and torture to a person knowing that he is going to die. Get over with it. That's inui hadin. So saving the fetus doesn't justify inui hadin. On the other hand, if a woman died, we cut open her belly. We do surgery to save the fetus. So on one hand, we learn from this sugya, yes, it's a mitzvah, it's a chiyuv to save the baby. And we do it even on Shabbos. On the other hand, doesn't justify inui hadin. So this is the delicate balance that Chazal struck. What we learn from this sugya l'chayra, it's not murder, it's not lois yirtzach. Inui hadin wouldn't override lois yirtzach. But on the other hand, we do have a mitzvah. So my fundamental approach would be, all these three halachas, there's a mitzvah to salvage and save a fetus, where Mechal Shabbos to save one, and there's a iser to destroy one, all these halachas are based on the same fundamental axiom, fundamental svara. Chalel olav Shabbos achas kedei shiyeshmor shabosois harba. To my dismay, throughout the years, I've done with terrible dilemmas regarding terminating pregnancies. So this shiur is not geared to halacha lemaaseh and definitely not such complicated issues. But I do want to share a question I needed to deal with many times to my terrible sorrow. When cancer is discovered in the body of a pregnant woman, there are some mild chemotherapies that we could give even when a woman is pregnant, and there's no need to terminate the pregnancy. But in many cases, we would not give chemotherapy to a pregnant woman because that might extremely compromise the health of the baby. So it goes without saying in the medical establishment, we would not give a chemotherapy as long as she is pregnant. And many times I've been asked by young couples, what do we do? Do we terminate the pregnancy to try to save the mother, even though we have no guarantee? Or would we leave it up to a Kodesh Baruch Hu and say, let her have the baby and we'll try to treat her later? And my psak is, we terminate the pregnancy, even though we ain't confident that we could save the mother, but we try. But postponing the treatment till after the baby is born, well, if she's at the end of the ninth, we could do that. But postponing treatment for months could have very, very grave consequences, as we all know. And therefore, I always try to calm and convince the parents. Fight for her life. Fight for your life. And we terminate the pregnancy to save the mother. Lechaira, that's the Mishnah. Mechatchen es avra devorim evorim kedei latzil et ha'em. Not necessarily. And this brings us to the Rambam Perek Aleph Halacha Tes of Hilchos Ritzeach, which is a gewaltige chiddush. When the Rambam brings the Mishnah, which is also quoted in Sanhedrin 9 Beis Amid Beis, Mu'uberes, Hamakash Alelet, Mechatchen Asavra Devora Mevora Miotzo Reisha Einogem Boi. Rashi writes, because the Uber is not a Nefesh. The Rambam writes, because he's a Roidev. The Roidev Nitan Atziloi Benashoi. So if the justification to destroy the fetus is because the fetus is considered a Roidev and he is the one that's threatening the mother's life, that would be relevant only if the fetus is putting the mother in danger. And that is a classical example of a mekasha leiloid. If not for the pregnancy, her life wouldn't be in danger. It is the baby endangering the mother's life. But we're dealing with a cancer. And the baby didn't give the mother cancer. So if the justification to destroy the fetus to save the mother is based on the concept of roidev, if the mother has a tumor, the baby isn't to blame. He is not a roidev. Exactly this question was dealt with more than 250 years ago in a sefer Koyach Shor, Simen Chof Ches. Koyach Shor was the Yitzchak Shor, one of the Gedolim in the days of the Noide B'Yuda. And in Simen Chof Ches, we find a question, a tshuva. A woman had a massive hemorrhage. She was bleeding. And the doctor said, it's not caused by the pregnancy, but we cannot save her life unless we terminate the pregnancy. And the treatment necessitates destroying the fetus, destroying the baby. What would the halacha be? And the Koyach Shor quotes the Rambam. The Rambam maintains that the necessity, the permissibility, the legitimacy, the permission to destroy the fetus is only because he's a roidev. In our case, he isn't causing her bleeding, so he wouldn't be defined as a roidev, and therefore, we cannot destroy the baby. Sheval taisa odev. And I wonder, because if we act by inaction, and the psak would be doing nothing, then the mother and baby will perish.
Kol halashon.
Not always do we say toiv mashnahim in oechod. When it comes to sakonas nefoshes, we don't say toiv mashnahim in oechod. So will we let them both die? I know this is not a pure halachic argument, but it just doesn't make sense. And my psak is, we terminate the pregnancy. Even though it is not the fetus directly putting his mother's life in danger, it's indirectly. Because if we don't destroy the fetus, then we cannot treat the mother, we cannot give her chemotherapy, and we will terminate the pregnancy. What's my argument? My argument is twofold. And I know I'm going against one of the Gedolim. Tov Kuf Tes Vav, this tshuva was written. That's 166 years ago. 266 years ago. But this is my opinion. It is twofold. The Rambam is a big pella. And everybody wonders from the Rambam, from the Noisa Kelem to Rab Chaim Brisker and all the others in between. The Gemara deals with this very same question of Roidev. When the Mishnah says, Yotze Roisha Ein Noigenboy, the Gemara asks, Lamo Ein Noigenboy? He's a Roidev. The baby is a Roidev. And the Gemara says, Mishumayek Radfelei. The din of Roidev Achechaveira Lahorgo Shenitin Latzila Benafshe is only when there is intention to kill. Regardless of whether the Roidev is a Godel or a Kotten, whether it's a Bar Chiyuv or not, whether it's a Bar Das or not. But it is only when there is intention to kill does he have a din Roidev. This baby, Yotze Roishoi, he just came out Lavira Oilam. He means no evil. He does no evil. He's not a Roidev. Mishumaya Karadfalei. The Yushalmi has a slightly different sprach, a different formula. But I think the Kavon is the same. In Sanhedrin Mem Dalad, the Yushalmi says, the baby is threatening his mother's life, the mother is threatening the baby's life, and therefore none of them has a din of roidev. Maybe they're both roidvim and both nirdofim. There is no din of roidev. So how does the Rambam say that the fetus is a roidev? If he's a roidev, we should destroy him even after. Rashi just says, a nuber is not a nefesh, and that is the difference, yotze roishoy, lo yotze roishoy. So who says we paskan according to the Rambam against Rashi? The Rambam reigns supreme. So does Rashi. I have another argument. The Rambam in Perusha Mishnah, Mesechet Olas Perek Zayin, doesn't even mefarish the Mishnah. You know what the Rambam writes? Poshetu ve'ein tzorech biur. This Mishnah is so logical, I don't even need to be Mefarish. If it's based on the Din Roidef, of course you need to be Mefarish. It goes against the Gemara. Nobody understands you. So how does the Rambam write in Perusha Mishnah? Poshet Vein Tzorech Perush. So I think Rambam in Perusha Mishnah coincides with Rashi in Sanhedrin. And there's a stira in the Rambam. Yes, I know. When there's a stira between Perusha Mishnah and Mishnah Torah, the Halachas K'Mishnah Torah. But the Perusha Mishnah goes together with Rashi in Sanhedrin Ayin Beis. But I want to go on. I have pshat in the Rambam, and according to my pshat, we would terminate the pregnancy to save the mother. And I dare to say my pshat, not only because I am usually strongly convinced in what I argue. Many times I say, Libi Oimeli, and when my heart talks to me, I listen carefully. I have come to trust him. But on this Chiddush, I have an explicit askoma from Rabbeinu HaGodol HaRav Shach Zecher Tzadik Livracha. When I was a younger man, I had a very special relationship with HaRav Shach, with Avi Yezri, the great Rosh Hashiva. I don't know why, but he liked me a lot. And I was Zeicher Lekir Avi Yaseira. In the last Machzor in Ponovitch, in which Rav Shach gave Shiurim on Masechet Psochim, my sefer was on his table, and many times he looked at what I have to say. I heard this from his B'nai Bayis, and it was moved, and it means a lot to me till this very day. On two simonim that I wrote, I got praise and compliments from Rav Shach. One is Bava Kama, Madura Kama Simen Mem, in the sugya of Yush, and the other is in the sugya of Roideif, and that is what I'm going to share with you right now. The pshat of the Minchas Osho, praised by the Avi Ezri. Shnei dinim b'roidef. One, when roidef is matir, ibud nefesh. When roidef legitimizes destroying a life, that is one din. That is the din of Roidef acha chavera lehorge nitan atzila benafsha. And in that case, we need intention to kill. But there's another din of roidef, in which we deal not in destroying life, killing the roidef, but rather rights, monetary rights or other rights. When the rights of Mr. Aleph contradict the rights of Mr. B, who has the upper hand, the roidef is pushed aside for the rights of the nirdef. And the monetary or other rights of the threatened override the ones of the one that's threatening him, of the perpetuator. And that is the din we learn from Bava Kama Kuf Yud Zayin. Bava Kama Kuf Yud Zayin, we're dealing with a ferry, a Rav Soda, ferrying goods from one side of the river to the other. People put their goods on the ferry, on the boat. One man put a mule, a donkey, on the boat. And in the middle of the river, the donkey went berserk. Amok. And he starts jumping up and down, and the whole boat might capsize. We grab that animal, throw him over the boat, and let him drown. And the Gemara says, Roidef. A donkey means no bad. He doesn't have pchira. He's not a bardas. Animals don't have judgment. They don't bear responsibility for their actions and deeds. They only have instincts. Animals aren't good or bad. They don't have a yetzer tov and a yetzer hara. So how can an animal be a roidef if we need bad intentions? Because we're not dealing with lo tirzach. We're not dealing with killing a person. We're dealing with rights. And when it comes to monetary rights, the one that is endangering the others, intentionally or unintentionally, directly or not directly, the rights of the threatened, of the nirdaf, override the rights of the roidev. So when the Gemara says in Bavli and in Yerushalmi, Yotze roi she'ein oigen boy, ein doichen nefesh mepnei nefesh, he's not a roidev, mishomaya karad falei, that is only liachash yotze roi she'ein. Because we're dealing about killing a living human being. As long as the fetus isn't born, he's not a nefesh. It's not lo yisirtzach. However, he has a right. An uber has the right. A fetus has the right to be born. He has the right to come out to this world. He has the right to grow and develop. He has the right to live. But that is a right, in a way similar to monetary rights. So when a fetus is endangering his mother's life directly or indirectly, he has the limited din of roidev. This din of roidev doesn't justify killing a baby, but it does justify terminating a pregnancy, because a fetus is not a nefesh. He has a right to live, but the rights of the mother and her life override the right of the fetus. That is what the Rambam means in roidev. If not for din number two in roidev, we would say the right of the mother doesn't override the right of the fetus, of the potential baby. But it does. And that is din number two of roidev. And according to this interpretation, when the fetus is putting his mother's life in jeopardy, directly or indirectly, that is the limited version of roidev. And the right of the mother to live overrides the right of the fetus. And that is why my psak many times was, yes, we would terminate a pregnancy when we need to treat the mother. It is not the baby that is directly putting the mother's life in jeopardy. It's indirect. But that is my understanding of the Rambam by roidev. And I was moved at the time, and I'm proud to this very day, that Davi Yezri, that Rav Shach, liked this pshat in the Rambam. So we discussed a fascinating sugya today. Troubling, fascinating. The din of Ubar, based on the story of the Mialdois Uivrios. As I said in the opening remarks to today's shiur, it's Chumash Shemois, Sefer HaGolus VaHaGa'ula. And in Parsha Shemois, the story unfolds. The revelation of Moshe Rabbeinu at the Sineh. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu appoints and anoints Moshe Rabbeinu as Moshion Shel Yisroel. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Moshe Rabbeinu, I have heard the cries and the anguish of my people, and I want to send you to bring them out of Eretz Mitzrayim. Moshe Rabbeinu was taken aback, and Moshe Rabbeinu tells the Kodesh Baruch Hu, "Vayomer Moshe Elokim, hinei anochi bor bnei Yisrael v'amarti lehem Elokei v'seichem, shluchani aleichem v'amrulu, amruli ma shemo, mo'omer aleihem." They'll ask me, "Who is the Kodesh Baruch Hu? What's his name? What do I say to them?" Vayomer Elokim al Moshe, "Ehiya asher ehiya." And this is a shame, or an expression that we find only once in the entirety of Tanakh, Torah, Neviim, V'Ksuvim. Eheyeh asher eheyeh. What's pshat in these three words? We have six different interpretations in Meforshei HaMikro. According to some of them, we're dealing with Shemes HaKodesh. According to some, it's not a shame. So how do I dare to say Ehiya Asher Ehiya? I should be saying Eke, like we say Hashem Elokim. Because according to some pshutim, it's not a shame. And my opinion is, if our kavona when we say these words is not the shame, then we could pronounce the words in their full version. So Moshe Rabbeinu turns to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and says, Bnei Yisrael want to know, what's your name? What's the name of Hashem? HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Eya Asher Eya. But then he says, Koisoy Mer Bnei Yisrael, Eya Shluchani Alechem. Is it double or single? Rashi says, Eya Imohem Betzora Zu, Ve Eya Imohem Betzora Zacheres. Tell my beloved children, tell your brethren, I will be with them in their pain and suffering this time, and I will be with them in every goddess in the future. Moshe Rabbeinu was taken aback, and he says, Dailat Sora Bishato. We still didn't bring them out of Mitzrayim, and why tell them in advance that there will be so many other struggles and other goliyos? And HaKadosh Baruch Hu kivayochel says, Moshe, you're right. You're right. Eye shluchani alechem. I will be with you right here and now. I will be with you in this galus. That's Rashi. Then Ramban says, when Moshe Rabbeinu tells HaKadosh Baruch Hu, what's your name? What should I tell them? HaKadosh Baruch Hu responds and saying, they don't need to know my name. All they need to know is, I am with them, and I will be with them, and I feel their pain, and I hear their cries. That is all they need to know. Eheyeh asher eheyeh, I shall always be with them. That's not my name. They don't need to know my name. That's the first pshat in the Ramban. Second pshat in the Ramban is tell them, Eheyeh moem kasher hem yu imi. Mido keneged mido. Bederach shod amoided moided eloy men hashamayim. If they will put their trust in me, they will have a moon in betochen. I will salvage and save them. Eye moim kasher hem yu imi. And then the Ramban quotes Reb Sadia Goen. Eye esha eye means I am forever. I am for eternity. Ani rishon vani achorin umebarodai ein Elohim. That is Eye Asher Eye. The Rambam quotes the Moreh Nevochim, and this is a profound pshat. There is only one being that is because he is. He is because he is. He is because he must be. He is because it's inconceivable and it's impossible he should not be. All the other beings are here for a reason. All the other beings exist because someone made them exist. Someone created them. The Rambam in the very first halacha in Mishneh Torah. Yesoida Torah Perek Aleph Halacha Aleph, the Rambam writes, Yesoda Yesoidas V'amod HaChochmas Leidus Yesha Motzi Rishoin Mamtzi Kol Nimtzo. What an unbelievable definition. What words. Only the Rambam could write a sentence like that. Eye asher eye means, according to the Rambam, I am because I am. I exist because I exist. I exist because I must exist. I exist because it's inconceivable that I should not exist. And therefore, they should put their trust in me. That's number five. Number six is the Rashbam. The Rashbam is amazing and profound. And the Rashbam writes, this is a secret shein megalen ela litznuim, and therefore, he uses a code, the code of Atbash. Check the Rashbam on this posuk in Chumash Shemois. It's amazing. So Atbash is no longer a secret. I remember many, many years ago, decades ago, I just took a pen and I figured it out. So what the Rashbam says, Hu oimer Eye, v'anachnu oimrim Yihye. So Eye is Shem Havaya. It's the same Shem. So you all speak Lashon HaKodesh. So when a person points at an other, he says, Hu Yihye, Sham. hu yihye gadol. But a person says the same about himself. He says, ani ehye sham, ani ehye gadol. Shem Havaya, Yudke Vavke, in Pnimius is Yudke Yudke. Yudke Vavke is Olam Habo and Olam Hazeh. Ultimately, it will be Yudke Yudke. That's known from the Ari. Yehiye and Ehiye are the same word. It is Yehiye when we point at another, and it is Ehiye when a person speaks about himself. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name is Yehiye. That is Yudke Vavke, but it is only because we refer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But it is only once in the entire Tanakh that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was asked, what is your name? And HaKadosh Baruch Hu speaks about himself, Kavi Yochal, and he says, what is my name? My name is Ehye. You call me Yehye, but I call myself Ehye, and it's the same. That's an amazing thought. So, Ehye Shem Havaya. So what is the message HaKadosh Baruch Hu conveys to Yiddish Kindalach in their times of suffering, in their times of trial and pain, in Golos Mitzrayim? It is Shem Havaya. Shem Havaya is Midas Orachamim, ultimate Rachamim, abundant mercy. Shem Havaya is Yihye. Many times I said, Jews never lived in the present. The present usually was too sad and too painful. We look back at our past to derive strength and amuna while our eyes are fixed on the horizon. We derive strength from our past looking forward to the future. The present was always painful. The future is unbelievably bright. We believe that this word is only a prosdor, it's a passage. The traklin is to come, the Keitz Yamin, at the end of days, at the end of each one of his life, his own personal life, and at the end of days of Klal Yisroel. So our eyes are always fixed on the horizon, waiting for sunrise, for Shachar Shel Moshiach. This world resembles the night. Lahagid baboike chazdecho ve'emunoscho balaylois. Nafshi l'Hashem is shoymrim laboike, shoymrim laboike. We go through life hoping to see sunrise. Our eyes are fixed to the east, waiting for the zricha. So Moshe Rabbeinu asked HaKadosh Baruch Hu, they will want to know, what's your name? What's your promise? What should I tell them? Ehye, Shem Havaya, ultimate rachamim and chesodim. Ehye, look to the future. I will be, so will you. And we will live to see sunrise and Shachar Shel Moshiach. So whatever I said about Eya Asher Eya is Emes La'amito, it's Pshat, it's Pnimius. But I also want to share with you a word in Drash. Vayomer Oid Elokim El Moshe Koisomer El Bnei Yisrael Hashem Elokai Vesechem Elokai Avraham Elokai Yitzchak Velokai Yankav Shluchani Aleichem Zeshmi Liyolim Vezezichri Ledoyo Doyo. In this posuk, Elokai Avraham Elokai Yitzchak Velokai Yankav Hakadosh Baruch Hu Miyachet Shemayim in each of the Ovis. By himself. And then the pasuk goes on, Lech bo saftu zikni Yisrael. V'amartu aleihem Hashem Elokei v'seichem niru elai. Elokei Avraham Yitzchak v'Yankov. Together. Elokei Avraham Yitzchak v'Yankov. Leimor. Pokut pekadeti yeschem v'sasu ilochem b'mitzrayim. Why in the first pasuk it's Elokei Avraham Elokei Yitzchak and then Elokei Yankov? In the second pasuk it is Elokei Avraham Yitzchak v'Yankov together. I say, there's an amazing story in Bava Metzia, Pei Hei Amud Beis. Eliyahu HaNavi used to come to Rebbe's yeshiva every day to learn and to hear Torah from Rebbe, from Rabbeinu HaKodesh. One day he didn't show up. He comes the other day, he comes tomorrow. Rebbe asks him, where were you yesterday? And he says, I couldn't make it, I didn't have time, I was in the heavens. And Rebbe asks, why were you so busy? And Elioi shares a secret with Rebbe. I have a tafkid, I have a mission, I have a job. Every morning I wake up Avraham Avinu, I wash his hands, and he davens, and then I put him back to sleep. And I do the same with Yitzchak. I wake him up, I wash his hands, he davens, and he goes back to bed. And then Yankov. Yesterday was Rosh Chodesh, Alange Davenin, Halel, Musaf, Kriyas HaTorah. So this ceremony took up most of my day. I couldn't get to the yeshiva. Rabbi is persistent. You know, Rosh Yeshiva said he wouldn't dare to ask a bucha, why didn't you come yesterday? The bucha would be offended. Rabbi wasn't that type of Rosh Yeshiva. Elior probably was as choshev's the Talmud. But the Rabbi asked him, why didn't you come yesterday to yeshiva? Elior has a good excuse. But then Rabbi asked him, so why do you need to wake up Avraham and then put him back to bed and then Yitzchak, then Yaakov? Can't you wake them all the way up together and wash their hands, let them daven together? Maybe you would have made it to say the Sheini. And then Eliyahu reveals a shocking secret. And he says, when the Ovis will daven together, Moshiach will come. Nothing could stand against the shared filler of the Ovis HaKdoshim. And it's not time yet. So I don't have rishus, I don't have permission. Because when the Ovis will daven together, that is when Mashiach will come. For the time being, they could only daven separately. So the first posuk deals with the Geula Shleima. Lo'osad lovo, izesh mili yoylem v'zeh zichri ledoyo doyo. And that is why the posuk says, Hashem Elokei v'sechem shluchani aleichem, Elokei Avraham l'chud, Elokei Yitzchak l'chud, Elokei Yankov l'chud, not together. Second posuk deals with Geulas Mitzrayim. Regarding Mitzrayim, Geulas Mitzrayim, they daven together. And therefore, this Geula is munach bekufsa. This Geula is guaranteed. Lech v'osafnu azikli yeshol v'omartu aleihem. Hashem Elokei avoyseichem niru elai. Elokei Avraham, Yitzchak v'Yankov together. Leimor. My dear friends, I don't know to which yeshiva Eliyahu HaNavi comes today. I don't think I ever saw him in my koil. But I believe he comes to some yeshiva. I don't know where. But let us all hope and daven that in another week and a half, he should come to the yeshiva Rosh Chodesh as well. He should have permission to take all the others together and they should daven together. And then we will be zeicha. Zesh mili yoylam v'zeh zichri ledoyo doyo. We will be zeicha. Ki ameitzeischem me'eretz Mitzrayim arenu neflois. Ki ayin ba'ayin yiru b'shuv Hashem tzion v'niglo kvoid Hashem v'roa kol bosi yachtav ki pi Hashem diber b'bias Moshiach tzidkenu b'mheiro v'yomenu amen.
The shiur you've listened to was recorded and edited for you by Kol HaLashon. You're invited to continue listening at any time to all the shiurim and drushos in all topics by all the Rabbanim on Kol HaLashon.